Mike Ferguson is the Chief Operating Officer for the Self Insurance Institute of America. And Mike, I apologize for dragging you on the radio when you're trying to spend a little time off. Thanks for your time.
Oh, good morning, Tony. I'm happy to be with you.
What is the Self Insurance Institute of America?
We are a trade association, nonprofit, national trade association that represents companies that self-insure their health benefits, as well as companies that are business partners to those companies that allow them to self-insure.
How many members do you have?
About 900 members nationwide.
How many, you know, out of all the people that are insured, how many people tend to, just go the self-insurance rate?
You know, that's a great question. Right now, is the current stats show about 75 million Americans get their health benefits through self-insured programs to their employers. And it's really kind of a very underreported business story. That represents, just to give you some perspective, that represents about one-third of the private health care marketplace is covered through the self-insured health plans.
Well, I think we all need to get in one conglomerate and start buying our insurance. What a rate we could get.
it's a pretty sizable share of the market, but again, as a lot of people just don't recognize that from a practical standpoint. If you're an employee of a company that is self-insured, it really doesn't really affect your day-to-day relationship with your doctors. It's simply a matter of in terms of if you get incur a medical condition when you go in and see a doctor, instead of that doctor submitting a claim to an insurance company, basically your employer is paying that expense out of their operating account.
What's your perspective on Obamacare?
It's a great question. I think everybody knows that the Supreme Court is going to be looking at the case here, and you could make the argument, I think, either way that you might have the court upend that law, but if it assuming that it doesn't, it certainly changes the way that the healthcare marketplace is going to operate for years going forward. My sense is it's on balance. It's a negative to the extent that the government is more involved in the regulation of healthcare. Clearly, a lot of moving parts with that law, and we'll just have to see as it goes forward.
You know, that's always the tricky part of the federal government being involved with something. How much is enough, and what avenue do you take to make sure things are fair and just, but yet competitive in this competitive business environment, but yet not dictating to people or over-dictating?
Sure.
It would seem that that'd be a huge challenge, especially from your perspective.
That's for sure.
Well, let's talk about an email I received. I thought it was very interesting that your organization has a federal complaint in federal court requesting a declaration that Michigan recently passed Health Insurance Claims Assessment Act is preempted by the Employee Retirement Income Security Act. It seems so confusing, but it's important. Help me out here.
Wow, you really picked a heavy topic for the week, the holiday week here. So we'll have to we'll try to kind of glide into this and not make it too much in the weeds. But just a real basic here is if you're an employer that self-funds your health care, which means basically you are not going through an insurance company, you're paying the claims as they are incurred. You have a plan, it's known as an ERISA plan, self-insured ERISA plan, which means that you are regulated under federal law. ERISA is shorthand for the Employee Retirement Income Security Act. And the reason that is important is because a lot of employers that self-insure, they do that, particularly ones that are multi-state employers, so that they could have one set of regulations that they need to comply with in order to operate their plans. And ERISA sets up the framework so that you are regulated at the federal level as opposed to a health insurance company that's regulated at the state level. And that allows companies, again, more efficiency in terms of how they administer their claims. So we connect the dots back over to what's going on in Michigan is The state of Michigan for a number of years had a tax on Medicaid HMO organizations, 6% tax to pay for its share of Medicaid that it has to provide services for its indigent folks there in the state. The federal government came in and said, we're not going to allow you to continue to implement that tax. And so that triggered a few moving parts, one of which was the repeal of that existing tax and then replacing with a new tax, is basically a 1% assessment on all health care claims paid for Michigan residents on health care claims for services incurred within the state of Michigan. And so that law was passed over the summer, and it's set to go into effect on January 1st. The problem with that is that would impose a host of new requirements on self-insured ERISA plans, and that is in conflict with federal law. So basically, our association has filed a complaint asking that part of the law applying to self-insured plans not be enforceable.
Do we know how many people that affects here in Michigan?
Well, it's a good question. I don't have the exact number for you. We have not done a count, so I can't tell you exactly how much that is. But if you look at the numbers, again, you've got 75 million Americans nationwide that are covered under self-insured plans. I suspect that if you could extrapolate that and get some sort of sense based on the Michigan population, to be honest with you, we haven't run those numbers.
No, I know that you sent a letter to the governor's office that was dated August 31st that such a legal challenge could be coming. So the state has known about this in regards to Senate Bill 348.
We did. We tracked these things as this was coming through the cycle. Based on reading the legislative language, it was fairly clear that this was going to trigger an ERISA preemption issue, and we did our best to advise the governor of this. But I suppose it was the train was too far down the tracks, as they say, and I think they decided they would just take the risk.
So what happens next?
Well, we filed our complaint in federal court. The state has, I believe, about 30 days to reply. They will put forth certain legal arguments, I suspect, on why they believe our challenge does not have merit. Obviously, we believe that we're right on point. So like any litigation matter, I suspect it will go back and forth with some filings, and at some point there'll be a judgment. We believe that we have a pretty strong case, and frankly would be surprised if the ruling was not consistent with our complaint.
All right, Mike, we appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of your vacation with your family, and we'll follow this case. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Tony.